Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Hearing Suite podcast here in Harrogate. My name is Ben from local radio station Your Harrogate, and I've come along to the practice today, and I'm joined once again by Emily Woodmansey, the star of the show, the director of audiology at the Hearing Suite. Emily, how are you?
Things are good, thank you. Really good.
How is the new practice in Ilkley going, which you only opened about 2 months ago now?
Yeah, 10th of September. So things are going really well. It's been really warmly received by the people of Ilkley. We're just really grateful for everyone who's popped in to say hello, has come for their microsuction, testing, that sort of thing. It's lovely to be part of another little community.
Well, we did meet your lovely team in the first episode of the Hearing Suite podcast, which you can go back and have a listen to on the Your Harrogate website or wherever you get your podcasts. And today, episode 2, we managed to go the whole first episode without really touching on earwax, which is one of the biggest issues and one of the biggest things you deal with here at the Hearing Suite, being an audiologist after all. Today we're going to be talking a bit about some of the myths and some of the best practices you can take at home to eradicate earwax. So Emily, start us off. Earwax, it's not your favourite thing in the world, but what is it and what is the point of earwax? Why do we have it?
Absolutely. So you could call earwax cerumen, and it's a protection mechanism, is earwax. If we were hunter-gatherers, cavemen, and we were searching for our food, then it's the first kind of line of defence for our precious auditory system, so that nothing gets into our ears and causes infections, we don't get insects in there, little twigs doing damage to our eardrums. But in truth, it's something we probably should have evolved away from producing. I think in 2022, unfortunately, it doesn't have much of a purpose.
So you sort of link it there to being a hunter-gatherer. So if you're out and about, if you're a caveman, you're hunting for your food, there might be, as you say, twigs or little bugs or things that could get stuck in. Just is your eardrum really that sensitive then, that a tiny little insect or a twig can really do some real damage?
I'd say a twig, yes, a twig at speed. So you've got to think that the human ear canal is S-shaped, and typically it goes upwards. And again, that's another protection mechanism. So the closest I've ever seen to it is someone who took a bad shot in a game of golf and was rummaging for a ball in some kind of prickly bushy area, and a little twig did go into his ear, and the bends and the bit of wax that was there just protected the rest of the system.
So it does serve some sort of purpose.
It does. If your game of golf wants some improvement, definitely.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that's quite a rare case, isn't it?
Really rare. Yeah. I think in like 15 years, that's the one time I've seen it be useful. But yeah, again, it's kind of infection. It's got antibacterial properties, and again. So if you were living in that era, you'd be eating raw meat, lots of raw fruit and vegetables. You'd really be chewing with your back teeth. So although the cerumen would be being produced, it would be naturally working its way out of your ears. So it would be helpful and not cause the kind of blockages that we see today.
So would it continue to be produced then in the body if you were to leave it completely untreated, weren't using microsuction like you offer here at the Hearing Suite, or if you were to use the dreaded cotton buds, would your body just keep producing it until the point when it's sort of almost spilling out of your ears?
Absolutely. And you know, at times we do see that. There's not a way to inhibit its production as such. You can't sort of halt it. But again, you do find that people go through different phases in their lives. Unfortunately, typically, earwax will get us at one point. Either we'll have waxy ears when we're younger, somewhere in the middle of our lives, or when we're a little bit older. It depends how much we produce naturally ourselves and then how good our own ears are at expelling it. And what kind of things we do, because way back when, they weren't pushing things in their ears, they weren't wearing headphones, they weren't using cotton buds. Diet, lifestyle, everything has changed hugely from what we were kind of produced or created to do.
Well, you mentioned headphones there, so AirPods, for example, with Apple, are they something that can push earwax further down into your ear and make a bit of a problem then?
They absolutely are. And it's a tricky one, because I think when you look at all the benefits of listening to music or taking phone calls through AirPods or similar and having that kind of sense of community and connection with other people is so important. And I would never want to say to somebody, no more headphones. But I think if somebody's prone to earwax and maybe they've got slightly more narrow ear canals, then I would start to steer them away from the kind of headphones that push into their ears and look at either something like cans that kind of go over.
Which we've got on right now.
We have got on right now. or that them sort of naming brands. There's a brand called Aftershocks.
Right.
That you can get them online. They're shocks with a Z. And they're bone conduction. So they don't go in your ear at all. They're great for runners because you've got that environmental awareness of obstacles and danger around you, yeah, rather than absolutely. Cutting yourself off. But something like that can work really well for somebody who's prone to earwax and doesn't want to put something in their ears.
It's not something you think about, is it? But you think AirPods and headphones are such a big part of society and lifestyles nowadays when it comes to, as you say, music, or if you're in the gym listening, or even at work taking phone calls, as you said. So let's talk eradicating then, Emily, and yes. If it's actually possible. Can you eradicate earwax, and what is the best way to do so?
Yeah, so some people are prone to earwax, some people aren't. If you're prone to earwax, I wish that there was a drop or an ointment or an applicator that I could say, use this, it'll stop. Frustratingly, there isn't. We know, as I kind of hinted before, that, well, the outer part of the ear is made of cartilage. And it moves as we move our jaw, as we move our teeth. So if we're overproducing wax, making sure little things like, you know, when you do the Sunday dinner and you're chopping up carrots, have a little chew of the carrots on both sides with your back teeth. Try and get those teeth moving. Try and avoid pushing things into your ears. But the rate at which a person produces wax, that's the rate they'll produce it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it varies per person, doesn't it? So it's not everyone has the same amount of earwax produced at the same time. Everyone is different.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see people in their 90s and it's their first ever wax removal, all the way through to we have some people who come back to us every single month, and every single month we polish their ear, and then they come back a month later and it's full again. Anecdotally, I'd say there's probably some dietary links. The healthier the diet, the less wax that seems to accumulate. Fatty diets tend to see more wax and softer wax that blocks people up quicker.
Right.
And we tend to see more wax in men than we do in women. When women's ears are blocked, it tends to be a thin film of wax in a bad spot, whereas men, I mean, your ear canal is an inch long, and literally it can be bumper to bumper. It can be completely packed full.
So is there any ways we can sort of minimise it? Say you are someone who's unfortunate enough that you do produce quite a lot of earwax, whether it's down to your diet or any other reasons. Is there anything you can do that can sort of, are there any home remedies, in fact, that work, or are there not?
I would say the safest thing I'd recommend is the chewing, making sure that the teeth are moving. There are lots of home remedies you can get that will give you temporary relief. Typically, they're just moving the wax, creating a little gap temporarily. When you start applying drops, water, oils, ointments to earwax, typically, if anything, the wax takes the liquid on board and swells. So although there are drops and things that are out there and recommended, I find that people get the longest between their microsuction appointments if they keep their ears really, really dry, because then the wax doesn't take up more space. And then it's trying to work out the frequency that you need it. So, you know, if you had your wax removed 15 months ago and now you are blocked to the point that you can't go about your day, maybe next time we look at 12 months, see if we can catch it and just be a bit more proactive in our healthcare. Catch it before it becomes that horrible wake up in the morning, suddenly can't hear anything. But I wish I could say that there was just some magic remedy, but typically they make it feel worse.
But one thing that you do dissuade people from using are the dreaded cotton buds, Q-tips, as they call them over the pond.
They do.
You've said to us before, and I've mentioned on this podcast, you shouldn't put anything in your ear that's smaller than your elbow. So just think of how big your elbow is.
Best line.
Nothing smaller than that should be going in your ear canal. So definitely. Cotton buds definitely come under that bracket.
They do.
What are the sort of consequences, Emily, if you were to use cotton buds too regularly, if you use them at all?
So I think the first thing I'd say is the majority of people that come to see us have at some point used cotton buds, and we understand that. We appreciate that it's very tempting. Heck, it can feel very satisfying to clean your ear with a cotton bud. When you put that cotton bud into your ear and you kind of turn it around, a couple of things are happening. So the wax that you see on the cotton bud is from the entrance. You'll have pushed twice as much further in. There's also the risk, especially if you're on blood thinners or you've had certain medical conditions in the past, that the skin in your ear canal is quite thin and delicate. So you put that cotton bud in, you roll it around, you don't realise that you've kind of grazed the skin, and then you're really prone to ear infections from water and things like that going into your ears. So some people say no cotton buds ever. I'm realistic that people use them. You're not going to push a cotton bud into your ear and it come out of your nose. You know, the chances of a perforated eardrum, your eardrum's really robust. It is. It actually takes more force to perforate your eardrum than it does to break your wrist.
Wow.
Eardrums are tough. But what you are doing is compacting the wax. And I think the most difficult thing we see is when someone has used drops for a while, made the earwax all nice and soggy, and then they've thrown a cotton bud in, and then that's taken all that really wet wax and pushed it deep down against the eardrum, and that's when it's really difficult to remove, and people come to us feeling really uncomfortable in their ears, and it's a long process to get their ears back to how they were before. That's the do or die. Drops, then cotton bud, worst combination ever. When people are regular cotton bud users, you almost see layers of wax. We're almost like bringing the first layer, then the next, then the next. You can see they've pushed down and they tend to be drier. Funnily, for microsuction, dry wax is easier to remove, but if it's really impacted and deep, it can be like trying to bring a little pea or a boulder out of your ear.
Yeah.
It's just, for me, I always think the less intervention there's been before we do something like microsuction, the more comfortable the procedure will be for you.
Are there quite a lot of small, tiny hairs as well in the ear? Do they sort of impact the microsuction? Because I know they can sort of maybe get in the way of the implements and prevent sort of removal.
Yeah, I'd say there are. So we all have very tiny little hairs in that outer portion of our ear, all of us, from tiny little children. As we get older, particularly gentlemen, can get some thicker hairs in their ears. And yes, sometimes that can get a little bit tangly with the wax. But again, I'd say we don't see that too often. There's usually ways and means to get around that. But yeah, especially if you've then thrown a cotton bud into that mix, that, yeah.
So we've mentioned a few times already then, Emily, the word microsuction.
Yes.
Which we should sort of explain to someone who's maybe uninitiated and doesn't know what microsuction is. We're sat in your office, in your practice now in Harrogate. We've got a nice machine next to us which is involved in the microsuction process. So just tell us, for someone who's maybe never heard it before or never seen it either online, because I know there's a lot of videos going around, but just tell us, what is microsuction and how does it work for someone?
Absolutely. So I suppose if I take even a step further back than that, I think when people think of earwax removal, they always think of syringing. And syringing is a good method of wax removal if you have a nurse or somebody who's been doing it really regularly in a doctor's surgery.
So what would syringing be?
Syringing is the water.
Yes.
So that's where they look in your ears first, and then while the procedure's ongoing, they can't see in your ears, and water is pumped in. Like I say, if you've got a clinician who's really good at that, super. But it's risky because you can't see what you're doing, and the water pressure, for some people it doesn't really move the wax. For some people it's a bit rough. So we find that there's not a lot of places where you can get syringing done anymore, and I think that's probably not a bad thing.
Right.
So microsuction is a more modern method of wax removal. It's been done by ENT consultants for years and years. And essentially, the micro part of it is that we use something to magnify what we're looking at. So we're looking into the ear the whole time under magnification, and we're using a suction unit, like a teeny tiny little vacuum, to gently pull the wax out bit by bit. The micro part, that visualization, varies hugely. You'll see some places will do it with goggles that get about 3 times magnification, so it's 3 times bigger than it is in real life. Some places you'll do it like with a little iPhone attachment, and that makes it 8 times bigger. But we use the full-fledged ENT microscopes, the surgical microscopes, so we can see at 20 times magnification. So we can see all of the tiny little capillaries, the pores in your ears, and just remove really, really safely and gently. But because we can see what we're doing as we're doing it, it just means you can be really precise.
Yeah, more targeted, absolutely.
Definitely.
And for someone who is a patient and is having microsuction done to them, how does it, is it uncomfortable, is it invasive, or is it sort of quite quick and painless?
So, do you know, different people respond to microsuction differently. I have a group of people who adore having it done. They love
quite
it.
Quite satisfying.
Really satisfying. I have some people who enjoy it less. I'd say it should never be uncomfortable. You'll have an awareness of it. The machine generates some noise as it's removing the wax. But again, the sound level should never be uncomfortable. The feeling should never be uncomfortable. Sometimes you'll feel a little tug, almost like sort of the top of a scab coming away just as we're bringing bits out. But no, it's, I would say if you were to put it on a spectrum, it's not a spa treatment. It shouldn't be as bad as the dentist. Somewhere in the middle of those two. Yeah.
Absolutely. You must have quite a few success stories where people have come in where they can barely hear anything. And then once you've removed that wax that's sort of maybe been pushed down with cotton buds, they can then, it's almost like a weight has been lifted.
Definitely.
So it must be quite satisfying for you and for them as well when they leave the clinic and suddenly they can hear the birds in the trees again.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're exactly right. There are people who've come in who literally you are writing things down to communicate, to be able to take their consent to do the procedure. And then you take, it's like taking out a pair of earplugs for a lot of people. It's interesting as well because a lot of people put off having their hearing tested because they're worried that they've got a hearing loss, but actually they're wearing a little pair of earwax earplugs. You take it out and they're fine. But yeah, I find it really satisfying. I think it's another conversation, but hearing aids today are incredible, but you can never give someone their natural hearing back. Whereas with wax removal, you literally do that straight away.
So would you recommend, Emily, that wax removal is something that everyone should have done? Because there doesn't seem to be a safer or better way to remove earwax without sort of causing more damage or pushing earwax further down. So is microsuction sort of the way to go if you are sort of struggling with wax or for everyone?
Definitely, definitely. I think typically if you've got wax in your ears, you start to get a bit of a feeling of it. You start to, maybe in a morning you might wake up and there might be kind of a duller feeling, particularly on the side, if you've slept on one side, you can get that feeling a bit like you've got fingers in the ears, and it'll pass and it'll come back, and that's just the wax moving. I'd say if you're starting to get that kind of on the edge of a blockage feeling, then there's wax removals needed. We also get some people, you know, who'll book in and then they'll ring up back and say, oh, it's fixed. And I think, oh, it's just moved. And, you know, because typically regular people who come to see us are quite proactive now with their wax. But often when people come to see us for the first time, they've got blocked, they've got a meeting to go to, they suddenly can't hear, they want it done yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit like going to the dentist, isn't it? Some people will only go to the dentist if they've got a problem with their teeth. So I'm guessing it's the same with you guys. People, maybe they can't hear anything or their ears are hurting.
Yeah.
That's what the catalyst is for them to come and see you. I was going to ask how often you should have this done, but I think we've touched on the fact that it varies per person, doesn't it? It depends how much you produce as a person, because obviously people are individual and very different, but totally. How sort of often is the sort of average you see, Emily?
So I'd say the most common is annually. I get some people who'll come in and say, I have to have this done quite regularly, and we think actually it's been 5 or 10 years. Again, if someone had it done 10 years ago and now they're blocked, probably 5 years next time,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that sort of thing, just being realistic. But yeah, I'd say annually is fairly common, just to keep on top of things.
Perfect. So if there's anyone listening, Emily, that's having serious, well, they're having problems with their earwax and mm-hmm. maybe they're producing quite a lot, or they think they've listened to some of the things we've said about cotton buds and said, whoops, that's me. what's the best way for them to get in touch with you and to find out a bit more about microsuction and what the sort of next steps are with the hearing suite?
Absolutely. So I suppose the most information is on our website. It's thehearingsuite.co.uk, and you can go on and book a wax removal appointment on there as well if you want to. Alternatively, you could give us a call. So our Harrogate number is Harrogate, and it's 429222. But yeah, we book people in for an appointment. We have a little look at what's going on, look under the microscope, and then yeah, just give their ears a really good clean and tidy. So it's hard, isn't it? Because you can't just have a little peep in your own ear and say, how is it today? But yeah, just make sure people's ears are as healthy as they possibly can be.
Perfect. Well, Emily, thank you so much for your time. We'll put all this information at yourharrogate.co.uk, and you can listen to previous podcasts and to the next one upcoming next month, yourharrogate.co.uk, or wherever you get your podcasts. But in the meantime, Emily, thank you so much for having us at the Hearings Week today.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.